teach the home, began to deal with the husband and wife relationship and the raising of children, the discipline of children. And I think that's needed today. I mean, our homes are in trouble, folks. One of the biggest disasters in our nation today is our families are coming unglued in the pursuit of stuff. They want more stuff, and in the process of getting stuff, they've lost the most valuable possession or asset, if you would use the terms, in their whole life, and that's their children. The philosophy today of so many young people is that when you ask them in our subbing of ninth graders, they were doing a class the other day I was subbing for, and they were doing their research on jobs of what they would like to be. Veterinarians, you know, a physical therapist, a doctor, lawyer. And so I asked one student who was going to be a pediatrician, I think. I said, well, I have a question. Are you going to have children? Oh, yeah, I'm going to have children. And I said, well, who's going to raise your children? She says, daycare. I'm not going to stay home with those kids. And I thought to myself, wow, how foolish. But let me tell you something, and let me mark down my time so I know when to quit here. Don't put down that. I put down 8:50. That's not going to work, is it? But you know, as I was studying on the home and the raising of children, did you realize the largest cause or reason for divorce, USA, is money? That is the number one cost, whether it's directly or indirectly. And someone might would say, well, that's for poor people. No, no, no. That's rich people too. I mean, rich people have financial problems just like the poor people do. They got more than they need, and they don't know how to spend it, and then they do spend it. They spend it foolishly. And I believe this morning, and certainly it's a hot topic, it's anytime you talk about money, you're talking about something that gets right down to where we are, but I still believe the Bible has a lot to say about it, and I will prove that in a moment. And if we don't know how to manage our money, we generally don't know how to manage our spiritual life either. And so the thing is that money gets everybody's attention. There's a guy down in Texas, I don't know if Wilbert remembers him or not, we called him, he was called Mattress Mac. He came into Houston, Texas, and he was going to start a business, and all he had was $5,000. And so what he did is he said, okay, advertisement, advertisement, advertisement. So he went in one night, and in order to make this commercial, they had worked and worked and worked, never could get anything right. And so about midnight, doing all this photography, all this shooting of film, he just reached into his pocket, pulled out a group of money, and jumped up in the air. We will save you money. Mattress Mac is one of the most powerful influences in Houston, Texas today. But he took what he had and did something with it. And this morning I want us to deal with, and certainly, let me go ahead and give this, but money, it's nice to have money, right? I mean, money is a necessity. But if you doubt that, just ask anyone who doesn't have money. Just ask them, is money important? Oh, yeah. And if you ask somebody who's already worth multi-millions, why is he still working? It's money. And it's money. And so money is a very prominent part in our churches. In fact, the ministry of churches has a lot to do with money. If you have people that are generous, the pastor is better able to be taken care of, and he's able to live more comfortably. And certainly pastors have financial needs just like congregational members do, and it's the church's responsibility to deal with that. Missionaries, man, they require money. They don't go there, you know, well, I think a preacher needs to live by faith. I do too. But it still does not relinquish the church's responsibility to take care of that man, trusting in the Lord's providing them as they provide for the pastor. And so the thing is, lack of money usually means grinding poverty, and most of us really don't know what real poverty is, do we? I don't know what poverty is. I know what it is to have been done without, but I've never known God to let me down. He's always been there to supply the needs. But the thing is that we really don't know. We've got everything insured, and this is one of the problems today. We don't need God anymore. And I'm going to deal with this in just a moment. And I say that facetiously. We got an attitude that we don't need God because everything we got is, it's covered, okay? It's covered. Now, I want you to notice something, and I was talking with someone this past week. We need to be careful with your money. And I want you to listen to this verse, and you can turn if you wish, but this is not going to be my text. I'll give that in just a moment. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, For money is the root of all evil. I grew up hearing that. I grew up with this idea that if you had more than you needed, you were a sinner. Something's wrong. You were carnal. But let me tell you something. It doesn't say it that way. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, money became their God. God ceased to be their God, and they began to pursue the things of the world to the neglect of their spiritual life, and they ended up in ruin. Let me tell you something. Anytime you turn your back on God as a child of God, you're headed for ruin anyway, as I taught last night. Now again, did you know that you will have to give an account to God for, we will have to give an account to God for our money? Now that's right. You think the IRS is tough. Wait until you stand before God. Now somebody says, well, I tithe and what I do with the rest of it is my business. Not so. All your money belongs to God. And you are just as accountable for the 90% as you are the 10%. Somebody said, well, I can do what I want to with the 90 cents. Well, first of all, if you're keeping 90 cents, you have robbed God of the offerings, okay? So we're responsible for what we do with everything that God gives us, our health, our time, our energies, our monies, and so forth and so on. Now notice also, the fact is that it's not your money. It's God's. And what's that Bible verse? For you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. That for that encompasses everything that I am and everything that God graces me with. I'm accountable to God. Now, when we think we're our own man, then we are in trouble. Now, I'm going to read you again Psalms 24. Let's go over and do this. Go over to Psalms, and I hadn't given you my real text yet. I'll give you that in just a moment. I assure you we'll be through on time. But look in Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. And I want you to look at this. I'm going to give you time to turn, because this is very important. Because the thing is, it says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Now, tell me, who do we belong to? We belong to the Lord. So who does our money belong to? It belongs to the Lord. Now notice, the thing is, never think, and let me back up. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, I'll read from my notes. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to be stewards of that which God blesses us with. Now notice also, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, it says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now I know in context, but I believe this morning that we are stewards of everything that God entrusts us with, and God will hold us accountable for that. Now notice also, never think that there is not a direct connection between how one views and uses money and their spirituality. There is a direct connection between how one spends, uses their money, and their spirituality. It's there. You just look at it and you study it. Now notice again, more is said in the Bible about money than heaven and hell combined. 16 of the 38 parables of our Lord concern the stewardship of money. 5 times more is said in the Bible about money than is said about prayer. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of it. And the Lord knew that if we became occupied with the pursuit of stuff, we would disobey Him and wander away from the Lord. How many people in their pursuit of stuff have turned their back on God to see their whole life come unraveled? And that's why today in school, I was at subbing at a school, a bunch of, well, I don't know if I can say that up here or not, but we would call them a bunch of rednecks. These guys, I mean, these were the tough guys. I always said one case of STD would have wiped out the whole graduating class. And the thing is that this was a bunch of kids that were rough and drugs and all the other stuff. And I was with 11th and 12th, I started to say 13th graders, but 11th and 12th, these kids were so educated, they crammed 4 years of high school into eight. I mean, they were sharp. But the thing is that I asked them. I said, look, I'm curious. And there was about 20-something students. They all knew I was a preacher, and they understand that. And I asked them, I said, I'm curious, guys. I said, what would you rather have? Mom and Dad to give you a $50 bill or a time to go out at McDonald's and sit down for a couple hours with Mom and Dad? You know what these big old kids, girls, boys said? McDonald's with Mom and Dad. You see, the thing is tonight is that money, so many people are pursuing stuff that they neglect the most important thing. The very most important thing. Now, there's nothing wrong, again, there's nothing wrong with having money. Thank God, and I'll deal with this later. Thank God for people that have money and use it for the glory of the Lord. We need people like that. But the world is becoming more and more consumed or filled with people that are living for more stuff to the neglect of things that are so extremely important. Now, let me give you, go with me to Matthew chapter 6 now. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. This will be our text for the morning. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. There are really four ways to spend the money God entrusts you with. As you think of how you are spending the money the Lord has given you, we want to notice the four things that Jesus says, okay? Four things, very important. Now, let me just pause. How many of you think that you can pick out those four things right now? Very simple. We do it every day. And young people, I'm going to be talking to you real specifically in just a little while, okay? I'm going to be dealing with, because, I'll deal with y'all in just a moment. And if you're marking down my words, if you probably got, what was it? Somebody used the word 159 times. I'm going to use money more than that, so you hold on, okay? So I want you to notice something. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. There was a man in South Korea over there. You did not put your money in banks. You generally kept what money you had. You would buy gold rings, pretty well pure gold rings. You would keep them stashed, hidden somewhere, because banks were not secure. They were liable to put in a dollar and you'd get none out. If you wanted to risk it, you could put it in the bank, make 50% return, but it was too risky. And there was this one rice farmer from down south. He had saved his whole life. He wanted to get out of the rice business, so to speak, and he wanted to go to town and live and die in town, the city of Seoul. So one day he had all of his money in a suitcase or an attaché case, and he came to Seoul, spent his whole life accumulating this money. He was going to get him a little place, and he was going to live in Seoul. Well, he got to Seoul. He was going to get a taxi. He couldn't find one, so he got on the bus with his money. He got off the bus without his money. That makes this verse applicable, doesn't it? He had spent his whole life getting ready with his savings to retire. It got stolen. So notice, let me back up. I'll get way ahead. Don't a lot of Christians do that? Spend a lifetime getting ready to live, to die, and never have really done what God intended for them to do? Now notice here, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Look in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, stuff, shall be added, I like that word, added unto you. In other words, when you get your priorities straight, God will get you what you need and give to you what you really, you know, if our ways please God, He delights to give us what? The desires of our hearts. She got that stove, didn't she, brother?
Amen.
That wasn't a need. She needed a stove, but she had a desire. And that's what God's able to do. There's a need, a want, and a desire. And so the thing is, seek ye first. In other words, in trying to find what we want, we neglect God, and we don't get what we need. But if we please God, we get what we need, and then we get the desires of our hearts. Man, the thing is, and I want to go. Look in verse 33 again. Seek ye first. First. Now, this morning we're going to look at, you can spend the money you have four ways. First of all, on things that last only a few hours. Okay? Few hours. For most of us, this is exactly where most of our money goes. Those things that last for a few hours. Eats, candy, entertainment, a date, a sporting event, a vacation, lots of toys. Yes, we must have some of these to survive, and I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm saying that it is really easy to spend too much of our money on these things that last just a few hours. Now, I was talking to someone. My wife and I have done mystery shops. And mystery shops is where you go into restaurants and you eat their food and you clock them and you time them and you qualify their food and so forth. We've gone in and eaten a $48 steak dinner. They paid for it. Why not? But it serves the same purpose as going in and getting a Happy Meal. It fills the stomach. It accomplishes the satisfaction of hunger. And a lot of times in our lives, we find that we spend a lot of our finances on things that last just a few hours. It provides a few moments of gratification, immediate pleasure. It's so easy to be impulsive and spend excessive sums of our money to satisfy immediate whims and pleasures. That's why credit cards are so devastating to most people, is that they don't even stop to pray about something. They whip out the credit card and huck over to their ears, and when the item that they bought is long gone, they're still paying 19.9% interest on a credit card. That's why a salesman knows that if they get you in a store and get you looking at something, the majority of people will not come back to buy it once they leave the store. That's why they want you to sign the dotted line while you're there, because impulsive buying is a downfall of a lot of people. Impulsive buying. Don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry. Man, don't that look good? You know, it's easy to do that. We buy things that we just own impulse, because if you eat this, man, look at, you're going to be muscles. Yeah, it's all down here. You know, impulse. There are things that we need to be careful of, because a lot of times we'll never get to step 3 and 4 of this sermon, because we spend all of the money that we got impulsively on things that will last a very few hours. It's gone. In fact, I challenge you sometime. If you don't know where your money goes, every time you spend a penny, write it down. You know where most of the money goes? Nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, and dollars. It amazes us as to how quickly we spend on an impulse. We'd be thirsty, we'd walk by a Coke machine, and there is a 75-cent canned Coke, and we pop in 3 quarters because we want a Coke. And we could have gone home and got 2 12-packs for $5. impulse. You say, what are you getting at? I'm saving it for the last point, okay? A lot of our money goes for impulsive buying. Now, don't carry lots of cash. You know what I realize? If I've got money in my wallet, I find when I go in the store, I am less cautious as to what I buy. If I've got the money in my wallet, I kind of go around, boy, don't that look good. Boy, don't those ice cream sandwiches look good. Man, I can sure handle that pizza. And you know, whatever the wife and I do, if we got cash, it's easy to spend. Again, be careful with your credit cards. I was in Walmart here a while back doing something. I don't know, I think Jan and I was looking at a little heater. We was hoping it'd be on sale. And I went in and I heard this lady answering the telephone. And you know, it's right there real close because I was looking at the heater. She was looking at the heater. And I heard the lady say, well, how did you get this name? Oh, well, my daughter's only 4 years old. And she hung up the phone and she looked at me and she said, that was a credit card offer. A credit card offer? Yeah, a credit card offer for my 4-year-old girl sitting in the buggy. I said, how do they do that? Well, because they know that we as American people, we don't wait for the Lord. We don't pray about things. We just whip out that credit card and do it. But let me tell you something. Credit cards has to be paid. And for a few moments of pleasure, we're jeopardizing and sacrificing our future. And we're not leaning on the Lord to supply our needs because we don't need God. We got a credit card. Amen? And a lot of people run their credit cards up sky high. And then when something comes along of a disaster, they're in hock up to their ears when God gave it to them in advance. Can you imagine the children of Israel or Joseph? If the 7 years of plenty, they had eaten it all up and forgot to save, there would have been 7 years of plenty. There was 7 years of drought. And so, therefore, a lot of times, God gives us in advance what we're going to need. And if we spend it on impulse and frivolously, it won't be there. And then we want to blame God. Sometimes God provides in advance. Now, again, they make it easy. Credit cards make it easy to act on impulse. Force yourself to have a way to get the money. Force yourself to have to wait to get the money. You got a credit card? I got one. Don't use it. The only reason I use it is because I get to save 5% on my gasoline. 5% of $2.50 is a pretty good hunk of change. But every month when it comes due, it's paid off. I'm not going to pay them 19.9% of interest to save 5% on gas. You know what? We don't have to wait anymore. We've become an impulsive group of Americans, haven't we? Impulse. Man, we want it now. I mean, if it were possible for 9 months pregnancy, we would knock it down to 5 months, wouldn't we? Y'all would. I mean, we're impulsive. We want it now. And we talk about kids, a kid getting down the floor. Well, I want it. And the bottom line is we got a credit card and we use that credit card instead of praying about it and waiting for the Lord. We're doing the same things the kids are. We're buying on impulse when we don't even have it to buy with. I'm like this. If God wants us to have it, He's still God big enough to give it to us. Now, let me tell you, I've seen this and I know what I'm talking about. I pastored a church down in Houston, Texas. We went down there the first Sunday. There were 17. Six of them was Ellis's, and that was us. And it did me a lot of good. In the second month I was there, the treasurer said, Preacher, if we don't grow in 6 months, you'll starve to death. Wow! That was an encouragement. And there were times. There was one time in particular I remember very vividly. There was no food in the cupboards. There was no groceries in the refrigerator. There was nothing for the next morning's breakfast. Our daughter was sick. Jan called the doctor. We didn't have the money to take her to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, I'll call in a prescription. There was no money to go get the prescription. It was 9:10. And there was a knock on the door. Boy, were we lucky. That man knocked on the door and he said, Brother Larry, he said, God touched my heart and I just felt like I need to come and give you this. $125 cash. Didn't use my credit card. God got the victory for that, and we needed that. We put our tie to the side. We went and got our daughter's medicine, and we got groceries, and we had a little left over. You see, God taught me He was still on the throne and that I was to stay there. You know what? Sometimes we as Christians, we get in the way of God blessing us, don't we? Because we buy on impulse rather than saying, Lord, I need this. Doesn't He know what we need? My, my. Sometimes a little time will help you see that this is not a good way to spend your money. Just sometimes get back and reflect. Lord, do I really need this? Do I really? If it's on sale and you buy it, I don't care if it's on sale and it's 80% off. If you take it home and stick it in the closet and sell it at a yard sale next week, that's not saving money, right? You see, impulse. Things that last for just an hour. Notice here, we're often more excited about these short-term matters than anything else in our lives. And we might would say, oh, the immediate, how it dominates us, what a power it has over our choices. Passion, lust, greed, selfishness, jealousy, and ego. These can make frivolous use of the money that we have. We've got to keep up with the people down the block. We've got to keep up with them, and therefore we sacrifice our future to keep up with people that we don't even know, much less like. Money. Again, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. If I was to ask you, give me a perfect example of someone who did something on the spur of the moment that cost him for the rest of his life in the Old Testament, who would you think of? For a bowl of beans, he sold his birthright. And how many Christians are selling their ability to be a true servant of God for the pleasures of the moment? Esau is a perfect example. Oh, I'm so hungry! Oh, I'm so hungry! Well, here I got a bowl of beans. Basically what it was. And he gave his whole birthright for a bowl of a few moments' pleasure. Number two. There are some things that last a few hours, some things that last a few years. We need some of these things, automobiles, clothing and shoes, appliances, and most of what we have in our homes. We must have some of these things in order to make it in our society. We've got to have some things. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we have an obligation to buy those things that last a few years. I mean, refrigerators and ranges and things like that, furniture and clothes. But the thing is that they last a few years. They all perish with the using. My, do they ever. You take the new car. My, there's been times where I've had new cars. Church that said if we didn't make it, you'd starve to death in 6 months. Before I left, they were buying me a new car every 2 years and every year if I wanted it. The church was blessed of God. They saw their responsibility for missions and they took care of the pastor. But the thing is, I know what it is to get into a car and smell the new leather. That's awesome. I like that. But I tell you one thing, the car that we've got now, I still got to smell the new leather, but the guy that bought it brand new, he kept it for 12,000 miles and traded it in. I saved $10,000 when I bought it. He got to smell the leather. I got to drive on good leather. You know, good rubber, rather. But the thing is, there's some things that we need for a few years. A car, check the value. After 1 year, they say when a car drives off the lot, you've lost thousands of dollars just driving it off the lot. And I'm not criticizing people who are able to buy new cars. I rejoice in that. And like you said the other night, I'm glad to see people drive new cars. Nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people are driving new cars that can't afford to drive a new car. That's my point. They jeopardize their future needs and necessities. They jeopardize their abilities to serve God and to do the work for God because they got to have something that's out of their league, okay? I'm not talking about if somebody is a millionaire, and I thank God for millionaires, and I've pastored some. They're able to go out and get a brand new $38,000 car every year. I'm not envious of that. I thank God for that. But what foolishness it would be for Jen and I to go and get a $38,000 car. The point is that these things, some things just last for a few years. How about those new clothes? New styles will make you embarrassed to wear within 3 or 4 years. Man, your narrow ties will be too narrow and your wide ties will be too wide. I mean, they change. They go from polka dots to stripes. I've got some I've kept long enough. The stripes are back in now. So I've kept them long enough. I'm back in. Don't sell them at the yard sale. I need that stuff. You're washing your dryer on the way out, and so is the computer. Computers change so rapidly, they basically say by the time you buy it and put it in your cart and go out the door, you could drop it in the trash can. It's obsolete. It's changing so quickly. All these things change. Time is so fleeting, and it renders so much of what we use money to buy useless. And how much of your money are you spending on depreciable things? I've got a study. In fact, it's a series that I brought. I'm not going to speak here. But we should never go in debt. Listen to me. You should never go in debt on something that's going to depreciate. You should never owe more on something that the value of it is. When we got that car the Lord enabled us to get, we hadn't saved enough to where that we bought it and paid enough of a down payment that we had more equity in that car than what we owed on it. I know people that have borrowed money against cars. The cars were on blocks, and they still were making payments on that car. That's unwise stewardship. Now, I want you to notice, you need to spend some money on the third thing, on things that last a lifetime. We should spend a good portion of our money here. The spending we do here surely beats the spending that lasts only a few hours or a few years. A lot of people spend all their money here and now, and they're never able to buy things that are able to last a lifetime. I rejoice, says Andy. I'm tickled to death over that couple. They got a piece of land and they're dreaming of a house. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm tickled to death. Man, a guy gets saved, changes his life, gets his life turned around, got married and got a daughter, and now they're talking about, hey, you need a house. Amen. A lot of people spend a lifetime spending on frivolous things and never save enough money to build a house or buy a house or to make a down payment. And their whole life, they're paying rent to somebody else. And so mainly, it's not because of how much they do or don't make. It's how they manage what they do have, okay? Now, my dad never did make a lot of money. But my mom could make round steak taste awfully good once every 2 or 3 weeks. You know what round steak is? That's bologna. That's bologna. Mom got all bent out of shape when she sent me across the road when I was 4 years old. She sent me across the road with 50 cents to get a pound of bologna. And it had gone up 55 cents. I thought my mom was going to have a cardiac arrest. Went up 55 cents. I went up a whole nickel a pound for bologna. We knew what beans were. We knew what taters were. And then we had pinto beans every now and then. That was a good treat. But you know what? They were able to buy a house. $6,250. I thought my dad was going to have a heart attack. His house payment was going to be $50 a month. I thought he was going to croak when they went to refinance it. It went up to $52 a month. But you know what? They sacrificed and pinched pennies because they had some long-term goals. Young people, when you're young, don't spend all of your allowance or your yard mowing. Save a little bit. Someday you may want to buy a car. Don't go in debt. More kids are in debt when they get out of high school. The average kid, when they graduate from high school, has had 3 credit card offers, and the majority of them are already $9,000 in debt before they ever get a job. Now, let's go on. God expects us to spend a large part of our money on things that last a lifetime. Food, raiment, shelter, and learning are important necessities of life. We all need an education, a home, a few long-term household goods. And I cannot emphasize to you young people how good, important a good education is. Education is a direct, indirect connection to what you will eventually make, what you will eventually earn in life. And I also want to encourage all of you, especially young families, to make sound purchases, buy a house, invest in good furniture. By all means, don't waste your substance on riotous living and depreciable things. Luke chapter 15. Father, I want what's coming to me. And he went out and blew it. Some people you could, and in fact, I think I've got it here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I didn't bring it with me. When I was preaching on financial integrity, did you know everybody that won the lottery, every one of them, within 5 years was destitute, bankrupt, some was in, had taken chapter 13, chapter 11, some had killed themselves, and not a one of them had a friend left. My, listen, one of the things that lasts a lifetime, we must go on. We need also investments and should spend some money for this purpose. Don't be afraid to invest your money. Invest your money. And I think Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 29 will show this and will teach this. But notice also, and I'll just give you that for reference. But notice also, the Bible says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that with that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Did you get that? He that scattereth increased. He that hoards it and keeps to himself, it tends to poverty. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. And so again also, we're dealing with things of a lifetime. Generosity, Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give things that will last a lifetime. A lot of people today, and we're living in a day and time to where me, my, mine is fine. That's not what God intended. You give, and it shall be given unto you. Give things that will last a lifetime. Don't be afraid to invest and grow rich as long as you don't make money your God. Invest. Take that money and find a place that you can invest in and gain some dividends or gain investment returns or buy something that will invest your money and enable it to grow. Not in order to become rich that you might stretch your ego, but that you might be able to grow rich and use that which is pleasing to the Lord that He's blessed you with to give unto others. Man, we're living in a day and time to where so often we close our eyes to the needs of other people. But I believe something that we need to realize is that we need to invest our monies that God gives us that we might be able to share and give to help in the needs of other people. There are some people that are just, you know, they're not, I don't use the word luck. There is no such thing as luck. But some people, there are things that come into their life unexpectedly. And I believe that's an opportunity for we that are able to simply be able to say, here, God has blessed me. Let me share with you and enable you to come through this need or come through this crisis. Because I believe the Bible is true. Give and it shall be given. Give and it shall be given. My, my. Given unto you good measure. I remember Dad back years ago when I was probably 7 or 8 years old, raised a big old garden. Always mom would can and mom would not, didn't freeze, she would can green beans and tomatoes and whatever else that we had. And I remember when Dad had all, the mom had all she needed and Dad would give away. Then Dad maybe sell some green beans. And I remember very vividly, it's been 40 years ago, Dad was selling green beans in a bushel and he took them and he filled up that bushel basket and then he would shake it. Then he would round it up. And that's how Dad sold the green beans. It was shaken down. I mean, there was no open places in there. And then he rounded it up. And man, when they got that bushel of green beans at a good price, they got more than a bushel. But Dad wanted to make sure that they got what they paid for. And that's what God does to us, folks. I think sometimes as Christians, we close our eyes to an opportunity to be a blessing to someone else. We close our eyes, and because we close our eyes, God withholds that He would gladly give unto us. That night that man knocked on my door, we had not told anyone of our need, except we told the Lord. And had that man not opened his heart and receptive to the Lord's leadership, he would not have knocked on our door 10 minutes after 9 and said, here, God impressed upon my heart that you might would need this. And he handed me the cash. A check wouldn't have done the job. You see, I think sometimes as Christians, we just kind of close our eyes because we don't want to be involved. But I believe one of the investments we can make is in the lives of other people as we share with them those things that God has blessed us with. That is a reward that will last a lifetime. Now let me conclude with this last point. Another way that we can spend our money We can spend it on things that last a few hours. We can spend on things that last a few years. We can spend on things that last a lifetime. But this is the one that we really need to put emphasis on. Spend on things that last for eternity. Hallelujah. There are a few places to spend your money on things that will last forever. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What does he say again? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do break through, where thieves do not break through nor steal. The song just hit my mind. I'd need no mansions here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a place far beyond the skies. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song that's ever played upon the harps in Glory Land. How much of your time, money, and energy are you investing in things of eternal reward? Notice Matthew or Luke chapter 12, verse 33 says, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupts. My, listen, thank God, not everything will perish with the using. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at this. Choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Spend money. Invest in things that will be eternal. You may ask, where, preacher? First of all, tithes, offerings, missions. The money you spend in the reaching of lost souls, helping people in need, the turning around of a kid that has gone bad. Listen, folks, there is a need. Investment of our time and our energy is taking someone and show interest, like Brother Fayard. Who was that man kept asking a paper boy, are you saved? That man made, did he ever realize what he had done in his... He invested. He is dead and gone, I'm assuming. But his reward is still coming through this man's life. Through the investment he made in a paper boy. Who takes notes of a paper boy? I'm glad he did, aren't you? He invested in more than a paper. Folks, how much of your money, and I'm coming to conclusion, how much of your money are you spending on things that last forever? Howard Hughes died. Bill Gates will eventually die. But how much did he do that was of eternal consequences? The old cliche is, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? It should never be a dime. How much are you spending on things that last forever? It should never be less than 10%. Noble believers should fail to tithe. People tell me they can't afford to tithe, I say they're lying. They go out and spend $50 eating out on a Friday night and can't afford to tithe on Sunday. Hey, listen, I give you... no, this is tape, I won't do that. Again, and I close, Psalm 96 verse 8 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. What a privilege and a great investment opportunity to give offerings for missions and other special ministries, and to take that which God has blessed us with and make an investment that will last for all of eternity. How much are you spending on things that last for just a few hours? How much are you spending on things that last a few years? How much are you spending on things that will last a lifetime? And just like Solomon said, he died and left it all. But my question is, how much are you spending on things that will last forever? Money is important. It's not money that's sin. It's the love of money. And we're to be stewards of that which God has entrusted us with. Brother Wayne.